Good evening, everybody. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. So tonight's share is going to be on Parshas Korach. Just some reflections on this Parsha, which is so enigmatic and just placed in within Sefer Bamidbar, is yet another example of Bamidaber, of what comes out of our mouths, our actions, and then sometimes our actions speak louder than words. So just bear with me one moment as we traverse the Parsha. We begin with Vayikach Korach. What did Korach take? Korach took the defeatism of Klal Yisrael following the debacle of the Meraglim. And with this powerful messaging of being cast aside into the Midbar for 40 years, Korach took it upon himself as an opportunity to sow a fragment and to unite the disunited and to rebel against Moshe. When he says that Kulam Kedoshim, that we are all holy, in every essence that also implies that we are also on equal level playing field. So there's a messaging over there to say, as Nadav and Avihu had said, you know, in prior Parshios before, in Parshas Shmini, that we are all on a level of similar trajectory, meaning we are all on a very high level. So we have this equal level standing. And if we do, then why should it be that El Tzafon, right, the fourth of the brothers, right, Korach's uncle and Moshe's uncle, the youngest, to have the Nesiyah for not just a year, but for 40 years. And why is it that, you know, Aaron takes the kahuna, Moshe takes the Levi status, and what's left for Korach? Now, it's also interesting to note that up until the time of Korach, no one was as wealthy as Korach since the times of Yosef HaTzadik. So Korach was arguably the richest man on the planet. He was the Jeff Bezos, he was the Bill Gates, he was the Elon Musk, he was the individual who stood out among his peers. And we all know that when there's such a great amount of wealth, there's also a great influence. So it's not surprising that Korach was able to assemble 250 leaders that were similar to his status. But it's not just the leaders. It was also the neighbors. You know, Korach came with a multitude of people. And the greatest irony about this whole parsha that has always, I'm not sure if the word is troubled me, but always struck a chord with me, was that they were, these people were willing to, Korach v'Adaso, were willing to rebel against Moshe, but they had a problem when On Ben Peles's wife took off her kerchief and she uncovered her hair. And they said, oh no, we cannot look at a woman's hair uncovered. So they went the other way. And Chachmas Isha Banza Besa, say Chazal, that women really save the day. Because what did she say to On Ben Peles? She said, listen, what difference does it make who the leader is? It's certainly not going to be you. So if it's a match between Korach and Moshe, then you just stay out of it. And then she gave him, you know, some wine, and she made him a nice, beautiful dinner. And before he knew it, he was sleeping right through the morning, and he did not get himself entangled with the Korach Va'adaso. So that's where Chazal said, Chachmas Isha Banza Beitza, and she stood outside the house with her hair uncovered. And that detracted these holy men from going into the house or going near the house and pulling On from Sheva Ruvain out of bed and saying, hey, listen, you know, you promised you're going to be with us, and now all of a sudden you're not. No, they didn't even go near the house. They turned the other way. So that always struck me in a form of irony, that how this can happen, how they're willing to go against Moshe Rabbeinu and Knesset Yisrael, but they're not able or willing to look at a hair, at a woman's hair being uncovered. That to me is a tremendous irony. But we continue into the Parsha, and we see that Dathan v'Aviram, who are invited to come forth to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Lo Na'aleh, we're not going to go up. Now, Lo Na'aleh could have many different interpretations. One is that they were dismissive of Moshe Rabbeinu's plea, which in itself is tremendous because Moshe is the leader. And these are Moshe's subjects, right? Every one of these people, in a way, report up to Moshe. But Lo Na'aleh means we don't want to rise to the occasion either. So this is yet another level of disengagement. And it says a lot for a great leader to go and seek out those that have issues and to try to resolve. And in communication classes, there's always the three-prong attack, which is validation, 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 pivot, which is to accept in some form that the argument has merit, and then to pivot back to its rightful ownership. I'd like to try to, you know, move on to one other piece in the Parsha and to close out. There are so many parts to this Parsha that are so interesting. It says of Korach Lomesu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for the children of Korach to somehow be sustained for 38 years inside the pits of the earth and then to emerge. Then these were also Mesharsi Beis HaMikdash. These children ended up becoming Mizmashil of Korach. They also created, I believe, 10 Mizmorim and Tehillim that David codified during his time later that are attributed to the B'nai Korach. And there's another message to B'nai Korach Lomason. It means that there's always going to be some form of argument, which meant that in my personal space, we were having a really beautiful Shabbos dinner on Friday night, and the meal ended, and I thought to myself, my goodness, there wasn't one argument. And all of a sudden, right afterwards, there was some debate that ensued. So it was healthy. Baruch Hashem, we got that argument in because that this is a parsha for some form of disengagement. But I think that there's a very powerful message that I'd like to try to close out with, that Aaron's staff turned into Shkedim. It turned into a staff that produced almonds. And the question is, why almonds? And the answer is that almonds, when they are eaten initially, they have a bitterness to them. And then afterwards, it's quite smooth and it's quite pleasant. And that's exactly true when it comes to the Midah of Aaron HaKohen. And Oyev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, when you want to make peace between two warring parties, it's never simple, it's never easy, and it's quite tumultuous, and it's challenging, and it's quite difficult. But the end is that when peace does prevail, there is contentment, and there is feeling of accomplishment, and that's exactly what these Shkedim represent. The other side of the coin is that if somebody wants to have, juicy Lashon Hara about this person, and this person said that, and this person did this, and then you're relaying over this Lashon Hara, yes, it's very juicy and great up front, but at the same time, it has a detrimental effect, later on. So the messaging here is that we should think about the staff of Aaron in the sense that we should be able to promote peace, which sometimes between two parties is very challenging. And the flip side, we should remove ourselves from speaking Lashon Hara because the end result is never positive. And in that course, we should go from strength to strength. We definitely have a lot to learn from this week's parsha. Remember, it's what comes out of our mouth, Bamidaber. We have yet another episode between Miriam, between the Meraglim, and now the utterances of Korach. There's a lot to be said, there's a lot to be learned. And this all goes back to the differences between Moshe and Yehoshua in regard to the power of speech and the power of Asiya. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the power of speech. Hashem, Hashem, Karach, V'chanan, always appealing to Hashem on high through speech. And there's also Yehoshua that comes later. So as we continue to discuss and focus more heavily on Sefer Bamidbar, these instances of when, we have an engagement like Korach really rise to the occasion where we can learn practical examples of how we can do better in the future. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best and a week filled with Haslacha and Bracha and all the very best.